I'd like to talk about the four dimensions that we live in our social life. And I want to address these dimensions because once I realized that they were there, I also realized that our lack of understanding of those four dimensions creates a lot of problems. But more importantly, there is an abuse of those four dimensions that we live in. Let me first mention which dimensions those are for me as I experience them. They are essentially the four dimensions of the point, the line, the plane, and the volume. But in society, we experience this as the individual, in relationships, in groups, in humanity. But what I wish to address here is the way that we sort of look at those relationship between the human relationship groups and humanity in terms of the individual with the choices that they have, the relationship and the kind of transactions and interactions that they represent, the groups and the kind of ring circulations that you can have within the groups, and humanity as that large network of interconnectedness. So with that understanding, I then came to see that in society there are four, let's call them instruments, by which people think that they relate to each other, and they all call them reality. They all call them the life that they live, but they're actually not one reality. And the life that they live is actually not just that one simple thing. I realized that we need to split it out in those four dimensions of the point, the line, the plane, and the volume. And those are then seen in the form of the individual having a vote in a social system. Yes or no? There are some places where they even deny that. But as an individual, you have a vote. Your voice is your ability to express what you want to communicate in humanity. So yes, you have a voice in humanity, but you need to speak up. I'll come back to that later on when I talk about the four elements separately in greater detail. So the zero dimension is that you have a voice. You can say, decide yes, no, if you're involved on something, yes or no. It's a pivot point decision. It lies within you. You determine what you do, yes or no. Once you turn that on, you can relate to others. And that relationship to others means that you have a relationship. And in the society that we live in, that relationship has been hijacked so that all the transactions you have with others are monetized. And this is to be understood in a literal sense. At the moment you transact with others, you pay for that. It's called taxation and it's called the use of money. That one-dimensional reality we live in is the reality of money. And once you understand that money is one-dimensional, it is the transaction, it's the moment that the coin or the piece of paper goes from one hand to the other. It is like a spark of activation, but this activation is not self-activated. With money, you are actually enslaved into a money system, which is a superstition. I'll come back to that later. But for now, it's important to realize that this transaction between people has been hijacked, has been monetized, and exists as the monetary or the financial system, money. The two-dimensional domain of interaction with people is where you interact in groups of people. So you have a ring or a circle, which is a plane, which is the two dimensions of that interaction. And that can go the one way or the other way. So there is that circle dynamic or the circulation which runs around, and running around is also called a current or a currency. And that current or currency has been turned into a metric. It has gotten a kind of taximeter onto it, which is called the legal system. In the two-dimensional reality, you discover that the interaction between people has become regulated by contacts rather than contacts. So in that two-dimensional realm, you discover that your contacts are turned into contracts, and that there's this whole machinery of, say, legal apparatus, which pretends that it can describe what your life is. Once you step into that, you will discover that they're actually never talking about you, but they're talking about the paper version of you. The paper version of you is called a persona, because this whole dimensionality of relationship interactions between people, this whole legal reality, is only a paper reality. So where your individual being is zero-dimensional, the relationship with another is one-dimensional, has been taken over by money, the relationship in groups of people has been taken over by law. Money and law, in a way, are used to function as the door handles for money and the doors of law, which determine how you relate into humanity. And humanity, or society, or reality, is that through three-dimensional construct, that three-dimensional being, where things are actually real, tangible. That is the life that you live, and that is the reality in which you are participating as the creator in creation. But you do not discover much of that reality as long as you're living under the addiction and superstition of money and law. And the reason that I am talking about these four dimensions of society is because once you understand that they are there, then you can also come to understand how they are there. Other people created money, which they say that you can use, but actually they use that to put you in a dependency on money, which is a dependency on them for their benefit. Likewise, there are people who created the system of law, and that started in Roman times and before already, as a result of which they claim that they can describe how you should behave and what your life should be like, and what or you can do or cannot do in the reality that we live in. Essentially, that means that they write your law. You're not sovereign, but then in essence you're a slave. So you're a money slave, and you're a slave to the laws. And in that situation, of course, you can never develop in becoming a whole spiritual being. However, you can develop to become a whole spiritual being if you realize that perhaps this system of money was created as a kind of rods in a scaffolding to help you grow to a larger understanding of how you can relate to others. That in fact that money system is not for you to become a slave to money, but that you are actually indirectly invited to become a banker. As some people indirectly stepped into that banking invitation by becoming part of the tax system, so they will take your money and redistribute it to everybody else, including their benefactors. But you could also look at it as a system that you can actually join a bank and learn how to work in a bank, which of course will mean that the bank will still pay you money, but you know where the money comes from. But actually, it is a money. The money is an invitation to join into being a banker, not in the administration of the use of money as the tax people do, or not in the acquisition or expending of money as the banks would do, but actually at the level of the creation of money, as the fundamental money creation banks are doing. And once you realize that, you will come to know that bank money is a superstition. It's scrap metal, scrap paper, and the way money is made is that you go into a fiduciary statement of your intent, what you wish to do, and what you would like to have money for, and then the bank will create that money. And once you are a banker, you will listen to people's stories, their life stories, and what they want to create, and you will look at if they are creating things which are to the benefit of humanity, and if they are to the benefit of Earth, and then yes, you will create money for them. And that's not how banks do it now. They simply listen to the story and calculate if the person who says that they're going to do something will pay them back more money than they were given. And essentially that just means that if you give them money, they will need to rob other people to give you back as a banker more than what you gave them. So the only way that in the banking system nowadays people can pay back the bank the money that the bank has created for them is by robbing other people, and the rate of interest of the bank is the rate of people going bankrupt. And so people are not simply turned into colleagues which are in competition, but they're also assassins of the weaker in the system. And that doesn't necessarily mean that those people who cannot financially make it are spiritually weak, because most often they are the people who are not willing to have other people suffer poverty as a result of them having to pay back more to the bank than they got themselves. So once you understand that, your invitation to go into the bank is not just that you know that you can get money, you know that you can turn a life story into money, you know that you don't need to profit out of money, but you also know that you can stimulate people to do things by giving them money. And once you understand that, you will know that you create money in four steps. You declare your intent, you share that with others, the others can then support you, they can take your interest in what you do, they can then invest in their interest in that. Either you help them or they can help you. You work together, you form a group. And then once you collaborate, you will have an exchange between you, and that exchange between you will actually be the equivalent of currency. All the emails and letters that you send are actually stimuli for activation, for the acquisition of goods, or for the transforming of the goods, transporting of the goods, or for people being involved in that. So in that group, all of these communications are already currency. So you have the interest, the investment, the currency, and then with the group you produce things, you produce newness, you create new creations, you do the divine thing of being a creator in creation, and that new product, be it a party of the beach, be it the cleaning of the beach, be it the restoration of a forest that has been burned down, be it the building of a house for the new inhabitant of the village, that new product is actually the equivalent of a new value. So by that new value, all of the correspondence which was contributing to that has actually been turned into money. All the investment which were done are actually shares in the product, and your interest then comes back to you. So this is a system in which you actually don't need money to have the equivalent of money, because money is not the consequence of an intent being rewarded by somebody who says you can do so if you only pay me more than you get. But money or value is what you create by making something new and beautiful, which is beneficial to the planet, to all life on it, and to humanity, to everybody. So then that one-dimensional transaction of money is actually very clear, that it is no longer something that runs you, but you operate it, which evidently means that with your zero-dimensional vote of being inside of it, outside of it, by stepping into it, you can then create the money, and you become the owner of the bank, because you are the creator of the bank together with all these other people who create value. And that makes you an autonomous being. You create your own values. You can express that. The next level, the two-dimensional domain of laws, is now an amount of books which is more than you can read in a lifetime. There's no judge who knows all the laws. The politicians do not know all the laws. And so the lawmakers do not know all the laws, so they do not know the consequences of how new laws replace old laws, or how old laws should already be abolished. In part, the inaccuracy or incompleteness of laws is operated in the legal system of the judges. And the question, of course, is who is the judge? Is the judge somebody appointed by the government? Is the judge an independent guild? Or is the judge somebody who you select from your peers? Or is the judge an arbiter, an outsider, that you and somebody you need to resolve something with select to rule on your both behalf for the benefit of the environment and all of you? Once you realize that the laws as we have now are incomplete and inconsistent, obsolete and not up to date, then you will realize that something else is needed than a paper administration of rules of conduct which are imposed on people without them really having a voice, a vote. When you vote on a politician, you don't know that they are free to change their mind immediately after you elected them or selected them. And you're unaware that in their back rooms they might have different agendas than the one that they televised to everybody around them. And you might not know that they're actually proposing a change of law, because 3 or 4 years from now they will actually want to limit the freedoms that you have. As you're an outsider of that system, you have no voice in the system. So here too, accept that as an invitation to participation in that system of creating law, forming law. On one part, create a political party. Within the political party, explore your aims and what you want to do in your life. With that political party, share those ideals with others, register up for the voting system, make yourself be able to be selected or elected into government, and in government share your ideas with the other people there. But also use that opportunity to no longer participate in this ongoing majority minority repression system, but simply declare that you respect all political parties in their views, and that you hope that together you can create new views which are beneficial to the whole population. And once there, you can actually put all the existing laws up for vote. You can actually ask every individual to read every law in the book, and let know if they understand it, if they would actually comprehend it, if it is meaningful for them, and if they would actually abide by it or not. And if people do not indicate all four crosses that yes, they know the law, yes, they have read it, yes, they understand it, yes, they live it, then that law should be eliminated, or it should be reviewed, it should be rewritten. In that same way, there will be a need to rewrite the laws of who can write laws. Because there is no need to have an archive of things going into the far past, in which somebody thought up something, wrote it down, and everybody was supposed to behave according to that. Because we have seen it over the centuries, behavior change, relationship change, the ideals and the capacities to comprehend things changed, and specifically the capacity for people to self-regulate themselves has changed. People are in that sense much wiser, even though they are in other sense much dumber, than they were in the past. So it is logical that people are in a way raised to write their own law, that they are raised to become sovereign. And in order to do that, of course, you need to go into politics, go into the government, need to change the educational system and help people learn that they too can become lawyers, that they too can become governors, because they need to judge themselves and they need to govern themselves together. So there's a lot more to be said about this. But what I tried to point out just now is that we live in those four dimensions. And once you realize that the realm of money is something that you can step into, and that the realm of law is something that you can step into, then money and law can no longer cripple your life. Yes, it is all set up by people who aim for the best. And yes, it has been set up in such a way that it probably can do least harm. But in effect, money has become very enslaving for too much of society. And money itself, the superstition of money, does too much harm. And the legal system is too crippled to be able to change that. And it is also too crippled to be able to change other things. But even though the intent of money and the intent of law are originally good, we now see that the effect of money is war, and the effect of law is the war is not stopped. Just to put it in simple terms, these are up for reconsideration. And once you know that that's possible, your 0% voice actually gets 3% reality, because you know that whatever money is doing for you now, you need to reevaluate. You need to be able to make trustworthy relationships to other people so that you mutually can support each other. And that doesn't require money. That's just based on trust and reliability, responsibility, in which you must respect each other's freedom of choice. The same at the level of law. That is where, with a group of people, you then can express what you want to do, how you want to help each other in doing it, how you can then do it, and how you can assure that the outcome is beneficial for the universe, Earth, all life forms, and humanity, and all people involved. So that is where you then can heal the three-dimensional reality, by knowing that your relationships are important and should not be subject to money, and that your groups are important and should not be subject to laws or opinions or beliefs of others. You need to respect the laws and beliefs of others, and you need to respect the values of others, but you also need to learn to create your own values and to create your own meaning. So, in a sense, these four dimensions of society are, in essence, an invitation to grow up from being a baby in society to being a child in society to being an adolescent in society to being an adult in society. And I found these four dimensions very helpful in sort of untangling the web of interrelationships, and especially helpful for realizing that evidently humanity tries to do the best at all times in all ways, but sometimes we just need to improve on it by better understanding what we are doing, individual, in that zero-dimensional reality, all of us together in this universe, in a three-dimensional reality. And so that is actually where you have a choice. And in operating that choice, I find that it does help to know that it operates in those four different dimensions.